What's going on, people? Welcome to the United Side. Welcome to your morning show, your 10 p.m. special. Loads to get into. I am still... Oh, yeah. That's a 10... Did I say 10 p.m.? It's 10 a.m. I'm still buzzing from last night. I'm still buzzing with Jose being absolutely rattled as hell. I'm still buzzing from Ollie just sticking the boot in. I'm buzzing from the performance from Pogba. I'm buzzing from the performance of Mason Greenwood and all of that jazz and Cavani. And we're going to talk about Pogba and Cavani in the show. But most importantly, at the top of the show, we're going to talk about Jadon Sancho and reports coming in today that Man United are still interested in him. The price needs to come down, but wages have been agreed. And why have wages been agreed? Well, maybe not because we're talking to him right now, but the wages have been agreed because they've always been agreed. It's never been a problem. We had that sorted from last summer. So I want to talk about that and what that would mean. Harry Kane, Daniel Levy, probably the most shrewdest businessman in the whole of English football, probably in world football, has said he will not, under any circumstances, I don't know how clear you can make this, under any circumstances, sell to an English club. So we're going to talk about that as well. Hear that, under any circumstances. So what, Daniel Levy, if someone offers 250 million, you're not going to sell him to an English club? Of course you will, but no one's going to offer that. I get it. But we know the situation with Kane, so we're going to talk about that as well. A little update on Haaland as well. And I want to talk about Cavani leaving. And also maybe if Pogba's leaving. You saw how well those two played yesterday. What does it mean for us, the fact that we're asking these two players to stay and they kind of don't want to be here? Cavani's mind is undecided. He's just going to decide to tell us when he feels like it. It seems like we're not in the driving seat. And the Paul Pogba conundrum we know all too much about, so I'm going to get into that as well. But Jadon Sancho, this is a report from David Ornstein. These are comments from David Ornstein. And it basically says that Sancho remains of interest to Manchester United, but they would only proceed with negotiations if Dortmund's £110 million asking price from last summer comes down significantly. Wages and agent fees would not be complicated given both matters have been agreed upon previously. Now, look. Put your hand up if you've got energy for 90% club, 80% club, 100% club, 10% club like me. Put your hand up in the comments, because I'll be honest, I haven't got the energy for it again. You can see what's going to happen, yeah? It's going to be a long drawn out saga if we are to enter back into it. And I've said my piece on this many times before. We've invested into the right-hand side because we didn't get Jadon Sancho. We couldn't afford that price. We spent 40 million combined on Palestri and Ahmad. Ahmad, who is nowhere near getting, you know, starts right now, let's just say. But I've said in the last show I've done that it's a big year for him next year. I expect to see him playing. Palestri, he's probably going to go on loan again, let's face it. Like, he played a couple of times in the reserve, smacked up Liverpool and Blackburn, I think it was, and then went to Alves and went into relegation scrap. So he's going to need another loan next year. Jadon Sancho, it's not... We're not going to be able to do this deal. Dortmund are not going to want to lose Erling Haaland in one summer, yeah? Because they're going to get the money that they want for Erling Haaland, pretty much, yeah? Past 100 million easy. Past 100... I'm going to say between 120 and 150 million Haaland's going to cost, right? And then on top of that, will they want to lose Jadon Sancho? Now, yes, I do agree with what some people are saying. And I saw someone say, well, of course the price has to come down. They tried to sell him for 100 plus million last year. Everyone said no. It's been a whole year of COVID. There's less money in the market. And also, Jadon Sancho's had injury problems this year and hasn't been the same player, you could argue, with a lot of things. Yes, that's true. But are they going to bring it down to sort of 60, 70, 80 million? I can't see it. Plus lose Erling Haaland as well. I can't see it. Latest member of the United Stand Members Club here is Ina Tobias. Welcome to United Stand Members Club. Big up yourself as well, Tobias. But yeah, back to Sancho. Look, would Sancho be a good acquisition on the right-hand side? Of course he still would be. Like, you can't just... People acting like Sancho's shit just because he's not had as good a season. He's still a very good player. And I would still absolutely take him at Man United. The problem is that I would like to see us sometimes just stick with a decision that we've made. We've spent £40 million on a right winger. I don't really count Palestri. I know it's a bit disrespectful, but he's not here. He's not going to be here. He's gone. He's going to go on loan again. Ahmad is the one. You know, he's on the bench every game. He's been brought on in a couple of games here and there. Scored a great goal against AC Milan that we really needed at the time. Hasn't been seen since, but it's a sign. So, United, back your decision. Back your decision and spend the money elsewhere. You know, we need a central defensive midfielder. We need a centre-back. we may need a striker depending on what happens with Cavani, you know? So those three are definitely bigger priorities for me over the right wing. Although adding someone of Sancho's quality would be very good. Of course it will be. But I just think it's just undermining what we've already done in a time where we haven't got a lot to play with. How much are Dortmund going to lower the price by? You know, like I said, it's still going to cost us the best part of, let's say, 80 million. You know, they tried to get 120 million euros last year. Didn't work. COVID kicked in. They have to sell Haaland. We're worse off money-wise. The whole market is worse off money-wise. They're not going to just drop it to, say, 40, 50 million, are they? It's still going to be 80 to 90 million. We know we've only got 100 million to play with. We've got 100 million to play with. Gwydion says, Dortmund won't have Champions League football next season, so we'll have to sell for cheaper. I hear what you're saying, Gwydion, but it's still not going to be a bring and buy sell. It's not going to be a Blue Peter bring and buy sell for Jadon Sancho, and he's going to be dirt cheap. Let me just look at the Bundesliga just real quickly, right? Let's look at the table, right? And where are Dortmund? Dortmund are in fifth, right? And they got 46 points. So they're not that far off Eintracht Frankfurt, who are on 53 points. They could make that up. I know the time's running out, and I'm not saying that that won't be a big loss for them to not have Champions League. I agree, Gwydion, but it's touch and go whether they get it or not. But what I'm saying is they're not completely out of it. But if they don't get Champions League football, I don't see them having a mass exodus and selling all the players. It would definitely mean surely Erling Haaland will get his move, and they'll get a big transfer fee for him. But I can't see them just kind of having a bargain basement sell for Jadon Sancho. Sims the Don says Palestri will come good in his mid-20s, if ever. Well, there you go. His mid-20s, which is your prediction there, Sims. It doesn't look like they're going to bring Palestri back and force him into the first team. It's definitely one for the future. It's definitely one to keep him on loan for a couple of years, see how he gets on, and see if they ever bring him back. I just think it would be one of them ones where they go, remember when we signed that kid Palestri? I think it will go down as one of them, personally. But he's a young kid. We'll see how it goes. But on the Sancho note, I just struggle to see, how we use all of our transfer budget, or pretty much all of it, even at a cut price for Jadon Sancho on one player, and still fill the other positions. And two, I don't think Dortmund are going to lower the price by enough. You know, the reports that the wages are already agreed, that's true. You know, it's almost like half the deal's already done. Half the deal was already done last August, last June, whatever you want to call it, in the summer. It was already done then. Sancho and the agent stuff was all sorted out. You know, there was reports and stuff early on saying that the agent wanted too much money, the agent fees were a problem for United. And then what we learned was actually that United just didn't take Dortmund seriously and tried to bully them. And they lost out. They lost out. We lost that fight. Don't enter back into the fight again, albeit you're in a slightly stronger position, I understand, because of the market and economic climate. But don't enter back into that situation again and make the same cock up, because that's what it seems like would happen. They're going to say their price, which will be, I think, they were asking for 120, so what would they ask for this year, bearing in mind COVID has happened? I would say Jadon Sancho is probably worth about 70 million now. 70 to 80 million now, right? Maybe even 90, because of what they were pricing him at last week. So they're taking off a good, 30 to 40 mil? That's quite a big discount if you're saying COVID's happened. And then, all right, maybe add another 10 mil on because they might not get Champions League by the end of it. Maybe. So at best case scenario, I'm saying you get Sancho for 70 mil. A lot of people are saying 60 mil. Fair enough. 60, 70, there or thereabouts. Ace Boy says 90 max. There you go. So we're all in agreement of the kind of rough ballpark figure. But to spend, let's say, 70 million on Jadon Sancho when we've just spent 40 million on two other wingers, and let's just say one in Ahmad, that's a lot of money for the right-hand side. A lot of money. And more importantly, it's a hell of a lot of money to spend in this budget when we know we're pretty much only working with 100 M's. If we spend 70 million on Jadon Sancho, we've only got 30 million to get a centre-back. We've only got a centre-back and a CDM. And if Cavani leaves, to get that too. 70 million, 30 million to get three positions. You've got to do the maths here. It's basics. Like, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. And if it did happen, I probably think we'll be worse off for it. I actually do think we'll be worse off for it. Mason Greenwood's progressing really well. You know, you saw what he done when he come on yesterday. And I know that was one moment, but he's progressing well. He's learning his trade. You know, we've got to invest into Mason. He's ours. He's going to be a superstar. He's got a great potential, and you keep him growing. And then you've brought in another youngster in Ahmad. So you've got two youngsters there kind of doing their thing. Dan James is going to come in here and there to give us, you know, a different type of option. So I see it as, although Jadon Sancho would kind of be at the front of the crew as a ready-made replacement now, I just don't think it's the right priority to have. I think we should have either done it last year or not do it at all. Unless Jadon Sancho was something stupid like 40 or 50 million euros, pounds, which... it's just, in my opinion, this is never going to happen. Steve Locke says, we bid 90 million last year, so 70 or 80, go for it. Steve, fair enough, different opinion to me. But Steve, what I would say to you is, which is what I've been saying, how would you feel, bro, if we spent 80 million now and only had 20 million left for every other position? So what would be saying is that we'd be completely happy with the team if we just add Sancho in. And then we don't know what's going to happen with... And then we don't we don't know what's going to happen with Cavani. Now, when I get onto Kane a little bit later, that's another talking point too, because some people would argue, which we spoke about on the fan forum last night, would you just say to... I put it to the fan forum group, guys. I said, well, you know what? It's very, very nuts. We won't get Harry Kane. I'll get there later on. We won't get Harry Kane. But if you said you can have the exact same team, which is second in the league, you know, we have to undo a couple of them stupid draws that we got. We've only lost four times this year, which is good. But you put Harry Kane at the top of that team in number nine for 120 million because you can't buy anyone else. Would you take it? But you keep Pogba. So you have Pogba and Fred or whatever, Bruno. You still got Greenwood. Imagine a Bruno link up with Harry Kane and Pogba and these kind of players. It would be a madness. But I think maybe the impact that Harry Kane would have by himself or in addition to the rest of the team might be arguably bigger than Jadon Sancho. Arguably, because if you flip it the other side, what Jadon Sancho is going to give you is a consistent supply line from the right-hand side, which Wan-Bissaka doesn't always work with. But Greenwood is growing into that. I believe Greenwood is growing at a decent rate. I think he's progressing nicely. There's been times this season where I've been a bit underwhelmed with some of his performances, worried about is he affecting the game enough, but I can see a positive change in that. So for me, in the situation we're in where we need a CDM badly, and not just some, as Mark would say, a Poundland CDM, we pound stretchers. No, we need a proper CDM. We're going to have to go and spend upwards of 40 million, I'd say. Even if you wanted to go and get, say, a Bissouma or something like that. I know a lot of people are going to say that, but the Bissouma situation with Brighton, they're still going to look for about 35 to 40 million. And that's the lower end. And then you're going to talk about bringing Declan Rice to that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is Declan Rice going to be able to come here because Lingard's doing so well and now we've got bargaining chips, you know? But how much is Declan Rice going to cost? If you wanted to get Declan Rice, just say, take Lingard out of the question. They're gonna want at least 70 to 80 million. At least. And if West Ham get Champions League football, forget it. Why would they even entertain the thought of selling Declan Rice? They wouldn't do that. They're gonna need Lingard alongside Declan Rice to give him a chance of actually competing in the Champions League for the first time in a long time for them. So we need this centre defensive midfielder. Basically, what I'm saying is we can't get one for 20 million and a centre back. And the striker if Cavani leaves. Because my gut feeling is that Cavani's still going to leave. BOM says, would you take Aguero? He's free. We sniped RVP a few years back. The Aguero thing, just real quickly. I do have a lot of respect for Sergio Aguero. I really do. But I wouldn't take him. It doesn't fit. It's not right. I know what happened with Tevez after he left us and went to City. But it's really different with Aguero. Aguero would never come. You know, he's about to get a statue outside the Etihad for 10 years worth of service. Probably got them their most iconic moment in their club's history. I don't know about any other big trophies that they've ever won, if any. That was probably their best moment ever in the history of their whole club. So why would he undo his legacy? And to me, Solskjaer's right. To bring him into us, he bleeds City. Like, he is City, innit? I don't want... As much as he's a good player and has been an amazing servant to them, I ain't trying to see him play for us. I don't think he'll be that committed. It's different with the RVP situation. They're rivals in terms of the Premier League rivalry, but they're not Man United and Arsenal aren't rivals in terms of, you know, I don't think Robin van Persie you opened him up and it's Arsenal. Like, he just stayed there for a bit, had his injury concerns, was getting good towards the end of his time, and clearly shat on them to come to us to come and win. Like, it's different with Aguero. Aguero has won big things at City and has been their best player ever, arguably. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not the same as the Van Persie situation, but I take your point. Shahan says, I don't want Mason on the wing. Sancho frees Mason to go down the middle. Mason has to play centrally. Look at what he did with Rashford pushing him down to the left. Outgoings will generate a centre-back and CDM. I'm still quite undecided on the Mason Greenwood thing. Well, actually, I'm not undecided. I'm more leaning towards the right-hand side. I need him to keep developing as a number nine. I like him on the right-hand side. I really do. I like him cutting in. I like him on both feet. He's getting better at crossing. He's getting better at looking after the ball and going at players. I still need to see a little bit more from him in the number nine position. I'll prefer us to go and get a big number nine and have Mason filling in at both. I think he's good enough to play at both. Just like how we were with Rashford at the beginning. Is he a striker? Is he a winger? Time will tell. Ronaldo did start out on the right, but spent a lot of time on the left. Then he went up front for a little bit, like a multifunctional player. Same with Mbappe. He can play as a number nine, but he's better off the left or he's better off the right. He's just a multifunctional player. And I think we might see that with Greenwood. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Ronaldo or he's going to be good as Mbappe. But what I'm saying is the principle of him being able to play a couple of positions. I think that's good. I mean, and his scoring record so far at the same age is ahead of Ronaldo at United, which is fantastic. But where did he get most of his goals from then last year? He got almost 20 goals playing from the right-hand side. So if we want to use that, then we can say, well, his best season so far in the short two seasons he's done, or season and three quarters, because we're nearly at the end of this one, it'll be 2 years. He's played majority from the right-hand side. And he's done okay. So I don't know. I'm just not in the camp of definitely make sure he's a striker. Ronit says, one of the goalies will leave for 30 million. From that, Lingard 25 to 30 million, Neves or Bissouma, 30 million or 40 million centre-back, 50 to 60 can get a centre-back CDM right wing easily. That's a very good transfer window if we can get it. And this is from Vlier, says, Flex, can bet your bottom dollar Haaland ain't leaving this summer. All including agent fees, no one will make the move. That is interesting. Is Haaland definitely going to leave? The reason why I think he will is because, well, Dortmund will let him leave, I think. They'll need the money because next year they can't afford to let him leave for that release clause. That's like, what is it, 70-odd million or something stupid like that, I think? It's really low. It's really, really low. And they know that they can cash in on him now. Especially if they don't get Champions League, they are going to need to rebuild their squad. They're going to have to fill the void that he leaves, and they're going to have to try and strengthen again because they're going to need goals if they lose him. Because someone like him is not going to want to not play in the Champions League next year at this stage of his career, and they need to cash in. Which is why I see why people saying Sancho, we are in a strong position, because if they don't get Champions League, some players might want to leave. But I can't see it. I still think he'll get his move. Raiola is a big problem in that. Of course, he's going to do what's best for himself and his pockets. But Haaland's going to want a big deal as well. But I still think Dortmund will have to do right. The biggest thing lies on the buying club. Can the buying club match the demands of what contract you need to give Haaland? Because you need to get. I saw £1 million a week the other day. £1 million a week for Haaland. Honestly, Raiola, I swear to God. It's crazy. That's never going to happen. The Glazers says, forget Sancho. I'll go for Jude. 100%. Jude Bellingham is fantastic. That the more I look at Jude Bellingham, the more pissed off I am. The fact that I saw him in the blacked out Mercedes, the van, you know, getting taken to Carrington. He was there. We were showing him around. He's met Sir Alex. They're taking him around Carrington, and it wasn't enough. He went to the right place for his development. Which, you know what? It's quite sad. It is quite sad that that's happened, because really, when you think about it. You look at, I know it shows how far we've fallen, because look at what happened when we got Ronaldo. You know, you see a young kid, they're doing really well. You go and make the phone call. The young kid sees Man United and goes, wow. Comes around the training ground and goes, wow, I'm here. How could I turn this down? I'm 17 playing at Birmingham. In Ronaldo's case, I'm 18, 19, whatever he was when he joined us, and I'm playing at Sporting. Like, I'm going to Man United. But no, you know, fair play to Jude Bellingham. He's looked at it and gone, well, you know what? Sancho's done all right there. Developed him. They've got Haaland. They've developed him. He's looking all right. He's looked at it and seen the players that they developed and gone, that's the best place for me to be. And he wasn't wrong. Look at the level he's playing at. So you're right. I do like it. Over 5,000 people watching live, guys. That is sick. Smash a like on the video. Make sure you lot subscribe if you are new. The subscribers are going up as we speak, which I love. I want to go on to the next topic now. This is Cavani and Pogba leaving. Now, Cavani and Pogba played so sick yesterday. They were brilliant. Paul Pogba, to the point where in the fan forum, and just even people online were saying, how good is Pogba, by the way, on the left wing? Now, I'll talk about that. I think that's a different conundrum to have because it's almost like we're just going to forget, just quickly forget that Marcus Rashford has scored 20 goals in both seasons. So let's say 40-odd goals from that left wing in the last two seasons. We're just going to forget that. Are we doing that? But I completely understand why you would look at Pogba's performance there yesterday and be like, that was proper good. Like he took the piss yesterday. He was, when he's in that kind of mood, he's unplayable. And the situation about Cavani, because Cavani played extremely well yesterday as well. I had to eat my humble pie. I was on Instagram Live with Jay on United Stand yesterday saying, Jay, you know what? This Cavani thing, I respect him. And there was a point in the season where a lot of us were doing it. We're like, Martial shouldn't be the number nine. Cavani should be the number nine. Then we were like, nah, Cavani shouldn't be. Then Mason should be. We kind of do that as fans. We kind of go with the flavour of the last three or four games. We're kind of forced to do it because we've got to look at form. It's very difficult to just say one person out of the strikers we do have, which are a bit of a mixed bunch. It's very difficult to say that one should just be the striker for all along. You kind of do go off form. And I just felt that Cavani was slowly just filtering out the way, you know, the reports before the game, a couple of days before, or in the presser when Ollie's like, we're speaking to Eddie, you know, we're going to find out, you know, it's up to Eddie and he hasn't told us his decision yet. And I understand that. I respect it from Cavani's. I respect it from Cavani's point of view. He's living in a foreign country. His family's not here. COVID, can't have visitors around. I get it. I completely get it. But I just thought it was fizzling out. And then you see the way he played yesterday. And you're like, wow, if you do get him the ball and bring him into play and build your attack off him and use him in the right way and get crosses in the box, it can be devastating. He scored two very good goals yesterday. And it is two because it should have been two. Super chat here from BOM says, can you blame these kids? Go to United and never play and then go on loan or go to Dortmund, tear it up and get a huge transfer fee on a transfer. Listen, BOM, 100%. I agree. That's exactly what I'm saying. It shows how far we've fallen. Do you want to go to a United team, like you just said there, that's not challenging for the biggest honours or doesn't have a real chance at winning them? You could argue that Dortmund aren't first favourites to win the Bundesliga. I understand that. But they're in the Champions League. But most importantly, it's a good stepping stone for these young players, because they're looking for their first kind of club where they're going to play regular football at a high level. Maybe winning the actual trophies is not their main priority right now. Of course, it's in them because they want to win. They're good players. But their biggest thing is competing at the high level, getting game time, game in, game out, and not being behind the likes of a McTominay or a Fred or a Matic, which is what would have happened if Jude Bellingham came. Do you know what I mean? So 100% I agree with you. And Steve Locke says, Pogba was decent yesterday. He suits having, I think he's a bit better than decent. I think he was very good yesterday. He suits having that freedom on the left. 100% agree with that, because it's the kind of role he would play in a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. He's restricted in a 4-2-3-1. He's restricted. 100% agree with that. That's what I said in my match reaction. Seeing Paul Pogba play on the left wing yesterday, the reason why it worked is because he's clever enough to play there, and he's not going to play how Marcus Rashford plays there. You know, we have to change the way we play if Pogba plays there. You're not going to be able to just get the ball to, say, a Bruno or a Fred and McTominay, hopefully not them two, but a Fred and McTominay in transition, and Paul Pogba's going to be making a fantastic run in behind. You know, like the goal that happened for Lindelof. Paul Pogba, you know, against Granada with the ball to Rashford. Paul Pogba's not going to do that if he plays left wing. He's not going to make a run from out to in, clean through on goal. If he does, he's not doing it very often. But like what Steve says there, it gives him the freedom to be able to come into there and pop into the 10th position and pockets of space. Almost like the 4-3-3. If it was a 4-3-3, Pogba would still take up a lot of the positions he took up yesterday, just not as far wide. Do you know what I'm saying? He would still be inside that inside pocket left channel where he can influence the game, which is where we want to see him play, in a 4-3-3 at the left of that three. Sam says, What stops us from playing the forward passing with attacking intent every game like we did in the second half? We even had McFred on the pitch. True. Why can't we? Consistency. Exactly. I just think it's the system. If your system is built around playing that type of football, it means you play that type of football no matter what stage of the game. That's what it means. But because I feel like we don't work on that in terms of we want that to be our actual fundamental style of play, I feel like we just slip in and out of it. And it's a work in progress. That's something that Ollie's got to fix. Because if you look at it, you're right. Who said that, Super Chat? You're right. You're right, Sam. You're right. There's no reason why. Why can't... Basically, Jack said it on the fan forum last night. Why can't we play like that more consistently the second half? Like, it was a very good second half. The tempo was good. I look at the goal that led to Fred's goal, the passage of play that led to Fred's goal. A lot of one-touch passing. Bruno into Fred. Fred knocks it back to someone else and then lays it off to Cavani. Cavani with the shot. Obviously, Fred follows up. But the play around the box was really good. One-touch stuff. We can play football if you get the better players on the pitch playing football. And that was testament to Paul Pogba yesterday. I think that was good. But also, Paul Pogba on the left-hand side, I worry about that going forward in terms of 38 games, because when you come up against somebody, you know, proper wingers every single game and you're expected to do that level of running going backwards, it's a different argument. It is a different argument. And basically, we are shoehorning Paul Pogba in there when I don't think that's his best position. It's not. He can have a good impact from there because he's good enough to play there. Just like Paul Pogba can have a good impact on the team as a deep line center midfielder in a pivot. Because why? He's got a good passing range. It's still not getting the best out of Paul Pogba. You're not getting the best out of Paul Pogba by saying just sit in front of Harry Maguire, protect them, and just zing it long when Rashford runs. That's not getting the best out of Paul Pogba. Getting the best out of Paul Pogba is allowing him freedom to operate in the final third. Now, that's why him playing left wing looks good. It does, because he's in the final third. He can drop in off that side and it gives him a bit of flexibility. I do like it for certain games. I'm not going to lie. I can't act like it didn't. The same thing when he came on against AC Milan. I'm not saying he was absolutely unbelievable, as good as he was yesterday, but he made the goal from that position. And he was able to influence the game. Steve Lock says, sorry for the raid flex. No problem. You're putting your super chat up there. It is your right to have it read out, Steve. Even Fernandez would benefit from a 4-3-3 on the right-hand side. That screams a new CDM to get the best out of them both. 100%, Steve. I do agree with you. Don't apologize for raiding, man. This is your community. If you want to have your say, you have your say, bro. I do agree because the whole reason we play McTominay and Fred is because they're doing one man's job. It's like they've both got, we need a hybrid of kind of both of them, then add in someone who's better on the ball to mold into one player. We need a bit of height. We need a bit of strength. You need a bit of speed and tenacity to get across the pitch and intercept. You need that hunger. And then you need to be better on the ball. You need a little bit of McTominay arriving late. He's got about 8 goals this year, which is good for him. Even Fred's got a goal this season. So you need a little bit of goal scoring from that area. So I think we're looking for a hybrid of all of those players mixed into one. But because we don't have it, Ollie has to play two. And you've got to think, the reason why Paul Pogba's not playing there in these big games is because Ollie doesn't trust him to work hard enough how McTominay and Fred are going to work. You know, so we need someone in there who's going to cover those two's running in one man, plus be able to pass the ball and go the other way. So I think it's one where we have to look at it and think about it. But back to the point, which is we're asking these two players to stay in Cavani and Pogba when they want to leave. Where does that leave us as a club? Where does that leave us as a club? We still don't know what's going to happen with Paul Pogba, and we certainly don't know what's going to happen with Cavani. Me now with the Cavani situation, I have to be honest. It's easy to get carried away after seeing what he did there yesterday because it was so good. And it was similar to what he'd done when he come off the bench against Southampton. He's got crucial goals this year. What other crucial goals he's got? He's got the equaliser back against Fulham when we needed to get back into the game. That was a big goal. I spoke about the two at Southampton, big goals. There's another one. He got a header. Did he get one against Aston Villa? Someone crossed it to him. Can't remember, but he scored that goal. He scored one of them as well. Someone put it in the comments. He's got some important goals for us in the league, you know? And I just feel that Yes, while that's positive, I just worry how fit would he be over a season? Everton, that was the one. Yeah, brilliant goal against Everton. Left foot outside the box. Carabao Cup quarter final. I just worry that he won't be fit enough. And that's the be all and end all. If he stays, I'm not going to be fuming. I'm not going to be fuming only because, one, the more people that leave this football club in the summer, the bigger the task is. Because with people staying, that is, with Cavani and Pogba staying, we already need almost two/three positions. So if you add in departures to that, I don't trust us to go and do it. Oh yeah, the Villa one was Martial, great header. I don't trust us to do that, and that is the problem. But if Cavani is going to stay, I'm going to have the same worry that I did have this year, which was actually proved right. When he plays and he's fit, fine. It's a good stopgap to have. But how reliable is he? And most importantly, does he want to be here? Because if we force him to stay past that, well, we can't force him. It's going to be his decision. So actually, to be fair, take that back. I doubt he's going to choose to stay if he doesn't really want it. The pressure's not on Edinson Cavani. He's got the freedom to make his own choice. The Paul Pogba situation, going forward though, if he stays, I do think Solskjaer's got a lot to think about. It depends what kind of midfielder he can bring in. If he can bring in the type that we need, then he can free up Paul Pogba to go play more in a central area. If he doesn't bring in that central midfielder, you can see how he's trying to opt him on the wings a lot of the time. Is it going to be a situation where Ollie says, well, you know what? I'm just going to play Paul Pogba, different positions game by game. I'm just going to assess it. I'm just going to make him a multifunctional player as opposed to locking him down to one position. Or does he try and phase him back into the middle when we get better players? I don't know. I really don't know. Flex, it's my birthday in the free seat, says Leighton. Big up yourself. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Leighton. Smash a like on the video. Over 5,500 people watching live, which is great to see. Let's see if we can push that up to 6,000 while we're watching live. Smash a like and make sure you guys share the video as well. Harry J, I just saw in the comments, to speak about the racism towards Son. I was saying this to Jordy before we come on air, just real quick. I got a touch on it. You know, it's actually pathetic because there we are looking at a player who, leave the racism where it is a second, in my opinion, you know, went down too easy. Ollie picked up on it and stuff. It was embarrassing. Everyone was talking about it. Why can't people just talk about the football side? Why then do these idiots have to then get involved and start being racist? And we've seen it when Tuanzebe made a mistake. We've seen it when Fred made a mistake. We've seen it with loads of black players. And it's no different because it's an Asian player. It's disgusting. And it probably is stupid. You know, some stupid United fans, it definitely will be that. And other people as well, just trying to get in on the act. It's just disgusting. You know, he went down very easily. He it was an embarrassing thing that he did, but that doesn't mean that he deserves to be faced with racism. It's just pathetic, and I'm sick of it, and I'm bored of it. You guys know my feelings on that, but I just had to say that here at the United Stand, we don't condone any of that stuff. Just because there's a rival player who went down holding his face and trying to con us, that doesn't mean he should be subject to racism. That means he should be subject to scrutiny for cheating. That's it. Same with Eric Lamella. Not going to call him an Argentinian this, Argentinian... No, you're just an idiot, mate, because you got Martial sent off and you're a cheat. That's where it needs to stop. So simple. Steve Locke says, do you think McTominay could flourish with a good centre-back? I see this McTominay centre-back thing all the time, yeah? And I just... I don't really like it, if I'm honest. I know he's got a few attributes to play there. But I'm not so sure. McTominay centre half. Imagine McTominay and Maguire. Like, no. No, I just don't want to see it. And don't try and do with him what Jose tried to do with Eric Dier. Like, no. Just leave it. Just leave it where it is. I do want to touch on Erling Haaland very, very quickly as well. And this is from David Ornstein also. And this made me laugh, actually. It said, Man United are guarded against entering into another transfer saga for Erling Haaland. They will assess whether he is a viable option and exit the race quickly if the cost is judged too high so that other centre-forward targets can be pursued. Listen, Man United, Matt Judge is obviously not going to be watching. John Murtough is obviously not going to be watching. But let's just pretend they are. Don't wait till the summer to find out that he's too expensive and exit the race. Leave the race now. Get out the race now. But what? Like, I could tell you that. I could tell you that. From here, as a fan point of view, I can tell you that Erling Haaland is going to be too expensive for Manchester United. So, to be honest, it's good that they're saying they're going to exit the race quickly so we can pursue other targets. Because, to be fair, we've looked at look at how we conduct our transfer business in the summer. Look at the crap that we do. You know, we wait ages and ages and ages to get deals done. We stall. We monitored Gabriel all the way to flipping to Arsenal. We were in for Sergio Reguilon. I'm not saying that we should have got him, because I did say with the buyback clause and stuff, leave him where he is, that's fine. But again, we spent loads of time on that. Then we were monitoring Thiago. Liverpool took him. Like, we monitor and wait for things for far too long. So it's a good thing that they're looking to exit the race quickly. But guess what? You can exit the race even quicker than that. You can exit the race before it even starts, because he's going to cost 150 million. 150 million. You know it, or are in and around that. We haven't got that kind of money. So exit the race now. You know, just don't even enter the race. And you know what? It's sad, but it's going to have to be the same with Harry Kane. Is there even any point wasting a phone call, ringing up Daniel Levy to say, all right, Danny boy, how you doing, bro? Yeah. So what are you saying about Kane then? Daniel Levy's going to be like, what do you mean, what am I saying about Kane? Well, you know, John Murtough's like, well, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying what you know I'm saying. I'm saying it's 120 million slash more slash you're a competitor in the league. I ain't even selling him to you. That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay, well, thought we'd ask it. Are you sure? And then spend weeks trying to negotiate with Daniel Levy over Harry Kane, who we're never going to be able to afford, who Daniel Levy's never going to sell to. Waste of time. As much as I'd love Kane at United, as much as I'd love Haaland at United, waste of time. I'd much rather say don't even enter the race and get the scouts out there looking for some quality. And this is where I said, again, I always say it. People say as fans, well, who do you want then? Who should it be if it's not that? I don't flipping know. I don't have to know. I'm not paid to find out. There are some people that I can look at in world football as fans that we do have the answers to, which are so obvious. Other times it's not. But guess what? When it's not obvious, are you paid sitting at home here watching United stand? Are you paid to go and find players? I'm not. You're not. No fan is. So we don't even have to have all the answers. We're supposed to have elite level scouts. This is a bit of a madness what I'm going to say right now. But my scouts at Man United on my FIFA career mode have got 5 stars. 5 stars. We're saying we've got the best scouts. Now, I know that's a bit of a stretch, but even if you're talking about real life, we're Man United. It is, we should have very good scouts, no? If you take it away from hypothetical situations and stick to the factual situations, we should have top-level scouts. We're one of the biggest clubs in Europe. So they need to do their jobs and find value out there. If you can't just go, oh, we can't get a striker this year because Haaland and Kane are too expensive, so that's it. Well, who else is there in the whole hundreds of thousands of professional footballers around the world? You know what I'm saying? And Nathan says, Super Chat here says, Sancho's wages agreed last summer. Until the fee is agreed, who cares? Nathan, listen, you're right. They were agreed last year, and the fee is the most important thing. But the facts are still the facts. Basically, we're only going to comment on the reports that are coming out, which is basically saying that United are still interested, when actually at one point it was looking like they wasn't. I don't know why they're interested. Maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe they're banking on Dortmund lowering the price to low enough. But I still can't see it happening, in my opinion. But big up for the super chat, Nathan. Appreciate that. Super chat here from Michael. Michael says, Ollie is a genius with Hendo and David De Gea. David De Gea gets a chance at a winner's medal, and all the while, everyone thinks he's been dropped. You know what? Let's have this uncomfortable conversation, right? I'm never afraid to look back at things as a fan, or at me as a person, and say, I was a bit hasty there, or did I get that wrong? I think that ability to kind of like self-critique yourself like autonomously is a massive trait to have, and I'm not scared to do it. The way that the Dean Henderson thing is now unraveling, the course it's taken, it's actually not that bad. It's actually not that bad. I still stand by what I said in terms of, I do think it was a bit of an opportunity used by Solskjaer to get David De Gea in. I do think that David De Gea out, sorry, and Dean Henderson in. I understand that. I do understand that. And I do think, I do agree with what I was saying. Well, obviously I agree with myself, otherwise I wouldn't have said it. But that David De Gea didn't do anything wrong to get dropped. Had David De Gea not gone to the birth of his child, would he have got dropped? I'm not so sure he would have got dropped, personally. So on that logic, all right, cool. But you have to kind of look at how it's been managed. And Dean Henderson is, there is, like, I think Beth said it on the fan cam yesterday. There's much of a muchness between the two. I don't, when David De Gea is between there, I'm not like, this is shit, this is awful. You know, where's Dean Henderson? This is crap. Like, we need a new keeper ASAP. And when Dean Henderson plays, I'm not like, this is absolutely disgusting. Where's David De Gea? This is why Dean Henderson shouldn't be playing. Because like I've said many times, I do respect Dean Henderson and I have no problem with him becoming Manchester United's number one in due course. But maybe I was just kind of just being a little bit sentimental in terms of, I just think De Gea deserves a bit more respect. De Gea deserves to keep playing. I think he's got his act together this season. Maybe that. But I still think that's a positive because, you know, you've got to show loyalty to players who have given you good service. You can argue that, yeah, Flex, he wanted to leave when he wanted to go Real Madrid anyway, so he's not loyal. Listen, David De Gea is loyal to Man United. He had a stage in his career where he thought he might have wanted to leave, but that was his right to do. The fact is that he didn't leave, and he still played very, very well in a time when we were absolutely awful. I'd hate to think where we would have been without David De Gea 3 or 4 years ago. Do you know what I'm saying? So you do deserve a little bit of leeway. But then again, you know what? I suppose it's a cutthroat industry. It's football. The club's got to come first. And the more I look at it now, I think the right decision will probably get made in the end. I think David De Gea, I think we're just blessed. I think we're blessed, but it's given us a problem. We're blessed to have two very good goalkeepers. Dean Henderson, again, like I do say, though, I do want to see him with the crowd there. I do want to see him, 75,000 Old Trafford, packed out, big, big games. I want to see that. I still think that. But you know what? I have started to look at it and go, you know what? Maybe just skim it back and say, all right, the money situation is an issue. We won't be able to sell De Gea and all that stuff. But the best thing for Man United is having good goalkeepers. And we've got two of them. So whoever plays out of them, and it looks like Ollie's made a little pattern now, David De Gea is going to be more than capable in the business end of the Europa League. And Dean Henderson, as we know, is more than capable too. So I don't mind it now. Now I've calmed down and we've taken it in. And I think maybe that's what we all have as fans. As when things start to change, especially with a big player like David De Gea, maybe we can all get a little bit defensive. But I stand by some of what I said, but I am able to look at it now. It's kind of panning out and David De Gea has this new role. Because really, we're what, 6 points clear of Leicester now? Or eight? Well, how many points clear of Leicester are we? I've got Jordan May. I don't know if you can tell me. I can't bother to check. But we've got a nice lead over Leicester. But the bigger games are in the Europa League. Now, you know, if you want to put your money on the big money games, it's 7 points, people are saying. Okay, so we're 7 points clear of Leicester. Or is it six? Yeah, I might check myself. but whatever it is, we're 7 or 6 points clear of Leicester, right? And for me, I see that as the bigger games are in the Europa League. So why do we care? You know, just let them fight it out. Let them keep doing their thing. And you know what? I have to look at that and say, yeah, cool. That's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. I don't mind it. And to finish off very, very quickly, I loved yesterday. I flipping loved yesterday. Joe, what a prat Jose Mourinho is. Like, why are you taking Ollie's comments, like, literally? Why? Like, any excuse to deflect away from his shit tactics, his shit football, and his dead team. Anything to deflect away from it. It's so annoying. And I, do you know what? Ollie doesn't normally do that kind of stuff as well. And when we was on the fan forum, I literally said, when there was someone put it up in the super chat and said, Ollie's just said this, I laughed and said, there's no way Ollie said that. There's no way Ollie said he's not giving his son food. Not because I think it's so outrageous, because it's a great example, but just because I just don't think Ollie has that in him. But to see him do that, and then Ollie was like, when they said what VAR said about McTominay's arms and that, Ollie was like, oh, so how, you run like this, you use your arms. Ollie was ready. I love that. I want Ollie to have a little bit more of that edge. But for Ollie, for Jose to take it really seriously and question Ollie as a father and say, oh, you know, well, doesn't matter if your son's been in detention at school or done something really bad, you must still feed them. Jose, piss off. Yeah, bread is bread, cheese is cheese. Yeah, and shit football is shit football. Absolute bollocks. I've never heard, you know, I couldn't believe it. Call a spade, Jose, but your shit football is shit football as well. How about that? Honestly, I loved it. I loved the pictures after the game of Ollie kind of congratulating his players in front of Jose. It wasn't a Patrice Evra moment celebrating in front of United fans as Suarez was walking past. Ollie probably weren't even doing it on purpose, but it was so good to see that picture, you know. And you can bring back out the one where you're just rubbing him on the head. Hold your 6-1, shove it up your ass. You got 6-1. Look, what does it mean? And then we come and done you as well. And most of all, what I liked about yesterday is the fact that Tottenham are so crap, and we did what we should do to a crap team, which is spank them up. Like, they got the luck. They scored a good goal, to be fair to them. We conceded a bad one. They got lucky with the goal that was overturned. But we started adding nails to their coffin. I love it. I love it. All but confirmed their thing that they're not going to get top four because he plays such shit football. And I loved it. I watched it, and even I was surprised at Jose. I was like, Jose, are you really doing this? And then I had fans on Twitter saying to me, oh, flex. You know what's funny? When you don't agree with... when you don't agree with someone, when they say something to you on Twitter, yeah, it's in writing, obviously. You have no idea how they speak. But because you don't agree with them, you put that mad voice on of how you think they speak, even though it's nowhere near how they speak. But I envisage the person speaking like that, because to me, they're just talking shit. It's like, oh, flex, Mourinho won us Europa League, mate. And he got EFL Cup, mate. Like, Ollie, this, Ollie. Mate, piss up. What are you on about? So what are you saying? Bring back Mourinho? Are we really doing that? Are we really saying bring back Jose? Like, it don't make any sense. Like, any sense. Like, are you forgetting that Jose nearly ruined Luke Shaw, had Martial and Pogba on the bench and wanted to sell them, broke the dressing room? Yes, he started calling out the owners and stuff like that. That was pretty good. I don't mind that. Then he wanted to bring in Willian. Then he wanted to bring in what's his name, the guy for I always forget his name. The guy who plays for Inter Milan and Bayern Munich, the winger. I forget his name, but he's shit. He's not shit. Perisic, that's it. Old, stale. like what level are we trying to? What are we trying to do here? Like, are we really doing that as a fan base to say that, like, right, you want Jose back, and I can't mug him off because we just sat him down? Like, what? These are the same people that will say, oh, back the club, back this, back that, do this, do that. And then when you do get behind the club and say, sit down, Jose, you're a shit manager, your tactics are outdated, you get United fans saying, oh, remember he won as an EFL Cup. Remember he won the Europa League. Well, if Ollie wins the Europa League this year and finishes second with an actual harmonious dressing room and smiles on faces, then that's better. Don't tell me that it's not better. Yeah, I know that the style of football on a consistent basis is a question mark. I'm not going to act like everything's rosy. It's one game. I get that. But to hear fans tell me that I shouldn't be laughing at Jose and I should show him more respect, get out of here, man. Get out of here. The guy's trying to say that Ollie's not a good dad because he's saying that Son is an embarrassment for staying down like that too. And you know what? Ollie don't need nothing from you, Jose. If he's got problems feeding Noah, he'd just ring Marcus Rashford. He's got links. You don't know what links he's got. What, just because he said he wouldn't give him food doesn't mean his mum won't give him food. Don't mean someone else living in the household won't give him food. Acting like flipping, you have to call the NSPCC because Ollie's not going to feed his kid. Idiot. That tip, honestly, it proper annoyed me, but it made me laugh as well. And that's why I just thought, I'm so happy we did that to Spurs. I'm so happy because they play such crap football. Every time I watch them, I just look at them and just think, they're shit. They're so bad. Half of me, actually, when you skim it back here, is more of a thing of like, maybe we shouldn't even be celebrating that much because they're that crap. Like, we did what we should have done to a bang average team. A bang average team. That, and I'm not going to be too negative, because this is where, like, an Ollie Outer would come in and say, why are we even celebrating this? You know, look at the players we've got versus the players they've got. We should be battering them. They're crap. I get that. But there is a little bit of that, that, like, because Spurs are that poor, I just love the fact that we did what we were supposed to do to them. And Jose just couldn't handle it. Like I did say, I will reiterate it as well. I do not condone for 1 minute ever. You guys know me better than that. The racism that Son got, because it shouldn't happen. And actually, it deflects away from the real actual problem, because now it makes it so that, like, I felt like I couldn't go and, like, say Son's a cheat after yesterday, because, you know, it was just annoying because people decided to go and take it a step further. But yeah, listen, I'm happy that we smashed them up. I'm happy that they lost, and I'm happy that we dealt with them like we were supposed to do. And anyone saying show Jose more respect, I'm sorry. He should show the game more respect by actually trying to play football. That's what he should do. He should show fans more respect by not flipping stinking the place out. Guys, smash a like on the video. Subscribe if you're new. Fantastic today. Really, really good. Enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Thanks to all the comments and the free seats and all of the super chats as well. Remember, you can join the United Stand members squad membership as well. Make sure you do that. Check out Mark Goldbridge, That's Football. Loads of watch-alongs on there. Check out Mark Goldbridge when he does his Paddy Power stuff as well. Make sure you check him out there. He must be tired. He was doing a WrestleMania watch-along as well. I'll be doing FIFA later on my channel. We'll be doing that later on today. And obviously, Mark Goldbridge's FIFA as well. Loads to get through. I will see you guys later on tonight. We've got another fan forum. We've got the Sunday show on the Monday. You know what we do. We've got Beth, Rick, Kev, Jay, and the gang on there as well. Maybe even Mark. I'll speak to him, see how he's feeling. And I'll see you guys then tomorrow. Flexing KG as well. I am out of it. Peace.